that'll warm us up. I don't know. Anyway, Colossians chapter 4 is where we are. And we're looking at the first part of this. He's talking about prayer. And last week we were talking about as he says, devote yourselves. We're looking at the word for devotion that means to be strong towards. Okay? And then he says, being watchful and thankful. And so we were discussing there the whole idea of, and I quoted from Albert Barnes where he says, watch for favorable opportunities. Watch that your mind may be in a right frame when you pray, and watch that when your mind is in a right frame that you may not neglect to pray. So when he talks about being watchful and thankful, that we need to be praying and looking and watching for all the opportunities that we have to pray, and things to pray for and about, and then make sure that when those opportunities come, we don't miss them. Don't neglect those opportunities. And then be thankful. What do you have to be thankful for?
Everything.
Okay. But how often do you stop and think specifically about the things you have to be thankful for? We got lap blankets. Okay. I want the blue one.
I
think
you want.
Are you thankful for lap blankets?
Yes.
Okay, so think about it. You know, again, it's easy for us to just kind of generally be thankful. But how often do you stop and really think about, I mean, on a weekly, daily, how often do you think about specifically what things do you have to be thankful for?
Okay. The question I heard was, if you woke up tomorrow with the things that you're thankful for today, what would you have?
With only the things you have for today, yeah. You see, it's really, like a lot of other things, it's the idea of kind of being conscious, making a conscious effort to focus on things, not just our prayer where we just, you know, well, you know, it's time to eat, so I'm going to pray, it's, you know, whatever, but that we make that conscious effort, and the same thing applies to the idea of being thankful. We kind of think it's, you know, generally we're thankful, right? But specifically, are we thankful? And see, if we're not thankful, truly thankful, then the problem is there's a lot of things that are going on that we're not recognizing. We're kind of missing them because we're not looking for them. Chuck?
I just, you know, we're like the Israelites, you know. We're going through tough times, and God is lifting us up. More mindful, and after we've been through a rough time, we're thankful things, and it's kind of, I mean, we'll always be thankful, but I guess that's when we're the best for when we're thirsting for boasting for God and refreshment and gifts to us, and we're so thankful that we're going to be.
Okay. Here, let me get this other side here. Good morning. How are y'all doing?
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Part of it is, again, how much do we recognize, you know, on a regular basis, what we have to be thankful for? How much do we just kind of take for granted? You know, that we just say we don't really think about it a whole lot. We just go on about our day from day to day and so forth. And maybe when the lights go out and we're out without power for a little while, then we're what? When they come back on, we're thankful, okay? But otherwise, we don't really think about it a whole lot, that kind of thing. And so we just think about it. Miss Jean?
I'm thankful every morning that I'm able to get up and go fall.
Okay.
I'm thankful for the body and nursing home.
Okay. And you're thankful for Miss Kay, right?
Thanks, Russ.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes, indeed. But you know, it's things like that might be sound kind of simple to us who don't have to deal with it, but as Jean says, you know, she's thankful she doesn't fall every day, you know. And to her that's a real thing. She has to deal with every day. It's a very real possibility. And so, and that's what I'm talking about, is being recognizing those, even those kinds of things, and being thankful for them. You know, that, yeah, I made it through the day and I didn't fall today, you know, so forth. Okay, Judy?
Well, it's really, our day should start that we were able to wake up and face mm-hmm. another day. But I think, like you said, there's so many things on a daily basis that we take for granted, like every breath we take, every heartbeat we still have. We kind of take that for granted and don't thank God for that. And if you really think about it, we are blessed with so many things that it's almost impossible to mention them all.
Absolutely.
You know?
But we do need to consider, you know, on a more regular basis.
Yeah.
Things that we so often take for granted.
Exactly.
Don't think about. Ray, you had a comment?
I don't know where to start, but all I'm going to say is that I'm truly thankful for all that God does for me, particularly. And I'm thankful for my wife, who has to deal with a lot of things. My brother, who has been there for me, and I'm glad to be at home. But the thing, too, that my brother's going to be leaving soon. And it's going to be harder for my wife till we can get some aid in the house. But, yeah, we need prayer all the time. I'm thankful. I'm so thankful that it's the way it is right now. And I pray constantly that for my wife's health, and because she does, you know, so much for me. And I'm just thankful.
Well, I'm thankful for being able to swallow. And hopefully the Lord will know I'm going to walk. And I'm going to choke a lot of time when I feel it. And I'm so thankful for taking the time to go down.
Thankful that it goes down right.
Yeah,
absolutely. You know, Chuck mentioned earlier the Israelites, and you know, there's a pattern. You go back and you look at the Israelites' relationship with God, and this cycle, especially during the time of the judges, when as long as everything was going fine, what happened with them? Yeah, they forgot about God.
Yeah.
You see, and they were doing their own thing. But then when they would get into trouble, what would they do? That's when they cry out to God for deliverance, you see. And so I wonder, are we sometimes maybe guilty of the same kind of thing where as long as life's going fine, you know, we're not really talking to God a whole lot. And we're not thankful for the things that we have. But when something starts going wrong, what do? We call upon God to fix this and do that and take care of this and, you know, and so on and so forth. And then once it's all done, then, you know, we got our prayer list over here and we're praying about it. But then once that prayer is answered, we put the card over here and we go on with life. And we're thankful that God answered the prayers about that particular thing. But are we thankful? Paul to the Thessalonian church in his first letter, chapter 5, 16 and 17, said, "Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ. Now, that's a pretty high calling if you think about it. First one is be joyful always. That's tough, isn't it? Because let's face it, there are times when the circumstances and situations that we find ourselves in are not what we would typically associate with joy. But yet he says, be joyful. Always. He doesn't say be joyful only when everything's going well in your life. Be joyful always, but he follows that up with pray continually. So how are those two connected?
Well, something when you stay in communication with God, you have joy in it.
Okay, all right, yeah.
Whether you're going through hard times or not,
okay,
there's still the joy that God is there with you.
Okay, because joy, real, true joy, comes from where? Okay, but it comes from the heart and the mind, right? It doesn't come from the conditions or the circumstances we're in. Okay? So we can find peace and joy even in the worst of circumstances if we're praying continually. Right? You see? If that relationship is what it needs to be. And that we are recognizing the blessings that God gives to us and the strength he gives us in times of need and the good and the bad and all of those things, that we are in that kind of a relationship with him. Chuck?
Just thinking about Paul and Silas in prison.
Yeah. As I mentioned, we have to keep in mind that we can't let whatever the circumstances or situation that we're in dictate, you know, our joy or what have you.
Okay. I think we forget the power that comes with prayer. Mm-hmm. There is a lot of power in that, and it brings peace. When you're in turmoil and you really sincerely go to God, it will bring peace while you're talking to him. And I have had the experience that and really realized the power that comes with the prayer.
Okay, Denise?
Piggybacking on that, I thought about that one time. How many times do people say, all you can do now is prayer?
Yeah.
It's your last resort.
Right. Yeah. When it should be our first resort.
It should be your first resort. Because what you're saying is that there's nothing I can do.
Right. I hear that all the time on the news, you know, when there's some kind of a tragedy that people are facing, you know, when they're interviewing somebody, and oftentimes that's exactly what they'll say. Well, all we can do now is pray.
Don't want to bother God with us if we can take care of him. So we only get
Yeah. We've used all our resources. Now I guess it's time to call on God, you know, kind of a thing. Okay. I'm glad that people are praying, but, you know, again, let's do that on a regular basis and have a relationship with God where we're communicating to him, and then it will not be a last resort kind of a situation. Okay, so the next thing that he talks about here is evangelism. Look at verse 3 here. He says, and pray for us too that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Okay? So, pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way that you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. So let's talk about this particular part here, this prayer for opening doors, and then this interaction with, as he refers to them, outsiders. Okay? So first of all, again, we're talking about prayer here. How often do we pray for opportunities for evangelism? Right? And that's what Paul's doing. He's saying, I want you to pray for me so that doors will be open so I can proclaim the gospel. last time you prayed about that? Now, you know, stop and think about it a minute. What is, as God's people, what is our number one role and responsibility? Do what?
Share the good news.
Yeah. What was it that Jesus sent his disciples to do? Okay. Go and make disciples, right? Okay. That's what our job is. That's our primary job, is to go and make disciples. But how often do you pray about that? How often do you pray for an opportunity or a door to be opened with someone? Say, oftentimes we go, we might go and talk to this person, okay, or you want this track, you know, and maybe they'll take it, and maybe they'll call Russ because it's got his phone number on it. Okay, well, that's fine. But my point is, did you pray about that beforehand? You say, looking for the opportunity. That you know, is that our approach to evangelism, or is it really kind of rather like that's what we pay the preacher for? And I'll talk to people only if they broach the subject first, you know, or something along that line, because we're afraid of it. God will remove your fear if you would ask Him to do that and give you the tools and so forth to share. But you got to be praying for those doors to be open. Share with
folks,
right?
Yeah, let me do this one. It's my preacher's job alone. We need to be like being when he said go out into all the world and teach. We need to be like those apostles. Like Christ said, we have to do it. Not shouldn't be your responsibility. All responsibilities. That's why we got to stay in the Word and ask God to give us the courage and ask Him to give us strength to be able to go out and teach others and be show others about us without the Word.
Absolutely. Notice something, though. Again, keep in mind, who is it that's written this letter?
Who wrote
this letter? Paul, right? Okay. So, you know, Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles. He's out spreading the gospel all over the world, right?
Right.
Okay. But look at what he says in verse 4 about this prayer. Not only praying for doors to be opened, but what's the next thing that he says? Pray that what? That I can preach it clearly. Okay. Now, who would have a problem preaching the word clearly? You know, somebody like Paul's got a problem with that? That he's got to ask for prayers that he can present it clearly?
Paul even said that he writes eloquent letters, but in person he wasn't as impressive as he was.
Yeah. Yeah. But you know, the point is that, again, what are we praying about? And so often what I hear from folks is, you know, well, I don't know the Bible well enough. Somebody might ask me a question. I don't know. We've talked about this at times before, and we have these different excuses why we don't do it. And here's Paul going, you know how to fix that? Pray. Okay? Ask God to give you what you need. Right? I'm not sure how I can talk to this person over here. Well, ask God to open that door. And ask Him to help you to be able to share it clearly with that person. See, those are specifics in prayer. Rather than just simply praying, as I think so often we do, oh, Lord, help me to be a better Christian. What does that mean? Okay? What does that mean if we're not willing to be specific about things like that? And that's what Paul's doing here. And again, I emphasize, this is Paul, okay, who's preaching the gospel all over the place. And that's what he's praying about. So we should be praying the same kinds of things. I want to be able to present the message clearly. And I promise you, every time before I get up and speak, before I'm teaching a Bible class, before I'm preaching, I ask God to give me His Spirit to help me to know what words He wants me to share. Because I know, I think like Paul knew about himself, I'm not adequate in and of myself. None of us are. And that's why we need to be praying to God, you know, not only open the doors, but help me to be able to share it clearly. And that's a prayer that all of us should be praying. We have opportunity to share the gospel with other people. Now, as we do that, okay, not only do we want to share the gospel with folks, but look at beginning in verse 5, we're down through the rest of this section here, because he's talking to us here about, okay, in this, as we have opportunity to talk with those who are outside of the Lord, and I think that's who he's referring to here, outsiders, what are some of the things we've got to keep in mind? What are some of the things we've got to consider as we're trying to share the gospel with people so that they would be saved? Well, look at what he says. There's three main things that he says here. First of all, be wise in the way that you act towards them. Capitalize on the opportunities, and then be careful how you talk to them. All right, so let's talk about those three things. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. What are some things we need to consider about that aspect of it? Just the way that we act toward outsiders. Not just necessarily in front of outsiders, but he says toward them.
I think, first of all, we have to consider to be courteous and speak to them in love.
Okay.
And speak clearly so they can understand and let them know where you came from. So they understand that we're not perfect.
Okay.
We were there in the mud and the mire, and God pulled us out.
Okay.
And that there's nothing that could be in their life that God would be able to fix.
Right. Okay. What else? Wes?
Well, I've experienced in different times that people look at you and they try to make you they want you to be in a light where they can say to you that you're no better than I am.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And they'll do things that it may be the devil that's provoking them, but still they'll do things
to trip you up.
Right, to agitate you, to get you in a light where they can say, see, you're no better than me. You try to be this, you try to be that, but you're no better than I am. And that, I think, is one of the main things you have to guard against. You struck on one cheek, you turn the other, you know, which means you don't retaliate violence with God, or you don't act as your customer to victory you, and you try to maintain your Christianity and show them that you are different. All at the same time, you got to first realize that it's got to be the devil that's provoking them to bring this out in you. And that should help you in also asking God to help me, you know, to call God help, you know, sometimes all you can say to keep that anger from welling up. I mean, you're going to feel it, but to keep from reacting in the way in which, because most of the time it's going to be around a crowd of people, you know, so they can make you look like you're not a Christian. You know, I'm trying my best to be, and I'm not perfect, like Sister just said, but still, you know, I'm not going around provoking people, either,
right.
You know?
Well, here's the thing to think about, and you know, when people are trying to provoke us like that, we first of all need to consider ourselves in good company, because that's what the religious leaders of Jesus' day continually try to do to him. Okay, but I can't help but think of, as you're saying that, it takes me back to John chapter 8, the story of the woman caught in adultery, and so I look at what was Jesus' initial response.
You
know, to when they bring this woman and they're, you know, pressing him. So what did Jesus do? What was the first thing that he did when they said, you know, the law says stone such women. What do you say? How did he answer that?
He didn't say anything.
He bent down and started writing in the dirt, you see? So in other words, kind of, there's that, I think what he's talking about, that wisdom. Okay, be wise in how you act towards these outsiders. So things like that can help us to kind of gather our thoughts and not feel like we got to do that, you know, spontaneous, well, that makes me angry, and so I'm going to strike out. And then they go, oh, see, you know, well, you know, again, what did Jesus do? He just kind of took some time here, and, you know, so that's just an example sometimes of how we can be wise in how we're responding to other people. Don't feel like we have to give them an immediate answer. Just kind of take a breath and pause a little bit here, formulate an answer, and then, you know, go from there. You see? Chuck, did you have your hand up a moment ago?
I mean, this is it. I mean, this is what we're here for, right? You know, right this time. Don't have an opportunity first. And that could be. That's a little scary. Now, this is where you need faith. This is where you need to pray about. You need to be prepared. You need to know. You need to study. You need to be ready for this time because you don't know. And that can be kind of overwhelming for us, can't it?
Oh, yeah.
You know, sometimes we shy away from it. Sometimes we don't take advantage of an opportunity. The one thing we have to know is for this time, you are with that. God has put you there. And he wouldn't do that if he didn't want you to.
Right.
He don't want you to fail to love that person.
That's
he
right.
wants you to show the love of God
exactly.
for that person. And that can bring us to
Hey, Wesley! Hey. Welcome, brother. Good to see you. Seed and let people make a decision, but plant the seed.
Yeah.
But, you know, maybe using that analogy, think about it this way. When he talks about being wise in how we act towards other, you know, you could plant seed and just kind of throw it out there on the dirt or what have you, or you can prepare the soil where you have more of a chance of that seed taking root and so forth. Okay, so I think that may apply to this, you know, being wise in how you act is, you know, are you preparing the soil, or are you just going and knocking on somebody's door and saying, does Jesus live in your house? No, I don't think so. Well, y'all know you're going to hell then. You know, well, how well are you going to be able to proceed from there? You know, that kind
I think
of
that
thing.
Soul's
so
rock hard now.
Do what? Yeah. So, you know, again, it's looking at situations and circumstances and asking God to give you the wisdom to know how to approach this person, because not everybody, you can't approach everybody the same. So it's all about being wise, he says here, in how you act towards outsiders. Now, also, just kind of throw in here, it's, you know, is your light shining? Are you going to share the gospel and tell somebody you need to be a Christian, and where are you doing that? Well, when you're drunk in a bar. You know, that's not very wise, okay? Because they're going to look at it and go, your life's not any different than mine. Why should I listen to you? So I think all of those kind of things we need to consider in terms of how am I living my life? And I don't mean necessarily be in a bar, but just how am I living my life? Is that person that I work with, they know me, and they say, well, you're no different than I am. You curse and swear all the time just like I do. So now you're telling me I need to become a Christian. So, you know, why should I listen to you? But when they see your light shining, like you do, Wes, you know, they see your light shining, and now you've got a basis by which, because you prepared the soil by which to talk with them about things and so forth. And so that, I think that's all part of that wisdom that we need to have as we're talking and approaching outsiders and so forth. Let me go on here just a second here, get a couple of hands here. The second thing that he says here is make the most of every opportunity. And I think, Chuck, you said something about that earlier. You know, this opportunity may come along only once for me. Do I recognize it? And secondly, what am I doing with it? And the reason that opportunity came to me is why? What did you say, Chuck? Because God gave it to me. Okay? And so, again, it's not where I have to try to force this person to accept Jesus. I'm just a messenger boy. That's all I am. Okay? But I need to give the message. Chuck? So you get up in the chariot and you talk to them about it. You take that opportunity. He says, make the most of every opportunity. Okay? And then thirdly, verse 6, let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Boy, that's a tough one right there, isn't it? So you may know how to answer everyone. Okay? We need to be careful how we talk to folks. He uses the example or the analogy here of your conversation being seasoned with salt. When the nurse called me last week about my diabetes, and she's telling me all this, and she's telling me I'm going to have to change my diet, and I said to her, do I get to put salt on the cardboard I have to start eating now? Okay? Why? Because, you know, salt we typically associate with doing what?
Flavor.
It adds flavor. If I got to eat something that's done, you know, I'm going to put salt on something to give it some better flavor than what it has. Well, that's kind of what Paul is talking about here. Is accepting the gospel necessarily an easy thing for people to do?
No,
it's not. You're telling somebody, look, you've got to radically change the way you're living your life. Okay? You've got to start eating cardboard now instead of all the foods that you really like to eat. All right? So, and I'm not talking about, I don't want anybody to misunderstand, I'm not talking about seasoning it so that, you know, water it down so it tastes better. That's not what I'm talking about here. But you can either present it to them and it goes, ugh, or you can present it to them in a way that helps them to see it for what it truly is, a blessing in their life. Okay? And so is your conversation, again, how are you seasoning it? How are you approaching people and talking to people about the Lord? So, you know, how we talk to other people is vitally important. If you don't approach it properly, that door gets closed and you may not ever have that door open again because of the way that you talk, to them or what have you. Did I see a hand over here somewhere? Dale?
When we're dealing with people, everything we do and say, we should be able to follow up with introducing the gospel.
Right. Yeah.
If we're snarky people and we don't put them right, then are you going to feel uncomfortable that at that point sharing with them the gospel is going to defeat the purpose of sharing the gospel, because of what you just said to them, because of what you did to them.
let's see, Beverly, you have your hand up.
I was just thinking being careful, especially careful when you're telling this person about the gospel and everything that they've never heard. And then they say, so you're trying to tell me that my father and my mother, who were the most spiritual people I know who knew the Bible, and that they're dead now and that they are not going to be in the, you know, in heaven. You have to be careful and you have to know exactly what to say then in order to keep them from doing the 180 and done.
Yeah.
And they never turn around to you again.
Yeah. Judy, you had a comment real quick there?
Well, I was just going to say, you know, if you look at Jesus, how he approached people to teach them, and my example is the woman at the well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he approached her with where she was at.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's the way we need to approach the people that we're trying to teach. Approach them where they at and the situation that they in. And then bring in the Bible, and what does the Bible say you can do about this, and how do you, you know, I think that's the best way to do it.
Yeah.
And do it with love and respect.
Yeah. Notice that he says also, what is our conversation supposed to have? It needs to be full of what?
Grace.
Grace. Right? The woman at the well, how did Jesus approach her? With grace. Okay? If you knew the one who was asking you, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Okay? Go call your husband. You don't have a husband. Right. You don't have a husband. Truth is, you had five husbands, and the man you're living with now is not your husband. Okay? You know, is that grace? Yes. Why? Didn't condemn her. He challenged her with what was going on in her life, what she needed to hear, you see, rather than just allowing her to struggle and to suffer the way she's been suffering. You say, wait a minute, suffering, didn't she do that? No, not necessarily. Okay? But the point being, she needed the Lord, right? Okay? She needed things to change in her life. And so Jesus lays that all out before her. He could have very easily said, no, I'll get water from someone else. You're obviously here because you're a bad woman or a woman of bad reputation, or you wouldn't be here by yourself. And so I'll wait until somebody else to get me some water.
Is the very one that needed it?
Yeah.
The term grace means undeserved favor.
Yes.
So
yes.
People don't have to deserve the gospel.
Yeah.
But
they need it. It's how we approach them. Do we approach them with grace, or do we approach them with condemnation? See, that may or may not open that door, again, that Paul talked about here. Okay, Chuck and then Chuck. You got 35 seconds. Thing is, I was thinking as you were talking about that, thinking, yeah, I have grass that grows up in the crack. cracks in my sidewalk, and God lets it grow there, but he won't let it grow in my yard. I need to ask him about that. No, you're exactly right. Okay, Chuck, finish us up here.
So we've been talking about sharing the gospel, and here Jesus is as a woman as well, and he is the master, isn't he? Mm-hmm. I mean,
yeah.
If you're scared about sharing the gospel, if you're worried that there, this woman was the most thin skinny woman that could be, can you imagine? I mean, he's perfect. He's perfect. Mm-hmm. But she accepted. Yeah. But she was, can you imagine how hurt this woman was broken?
Oh, yeah.
So, and he handled it just perfect.
And we need to be striving for that. Okay. The last part of this has to do with greetings and all that Paul sends, you know, from different people, you know, to the church there and lists and so forth. Here's what I want to do. We have two more weeks, the end of this month, and then I will be gone and Dale will be gone on the 3rd. And when we come back on the 10th, Dale is going to start another class on that. And so his class will start on the 10th. But what I want to do the next two Sundays before we get there is, because we talked about last week, I want to spend some time in Philemon. Okay, so that's what we're going to do the next two Sundays. Is look at the book of Philemon, and then when on the 10th we'll come back and do the begin Dale's class. All right, he's going to be talking about how to talk to people, what we've been talking about this morning. All right, okay, thank you all very much.
Thank you.